Right. Thank you, Summer, and thank you, ladies, for song service. It's really nice to have younger folks up here versus us who can't sing. Prayer requests. What can I write down? Can we take the Lord to prayer here corporately? Who wants to get us started? Usually someone has to be brave and be the first to share something. Lewin, yeah, please. What is that? Danny, yes, your neighbor Danny, that's right, yep. Absolutely, okay. What else? Becky, please. Tim and Luann Bryant? Bryant. Okay. Okay. Got it, so health, okay. Okay. Who else? Anybody else? Jade? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, let's do that for sure. All right. Who was it? Who was it? Tina and John, okay. Okay. Got it. Okay, that's no fun. It's a lot of hard to see that going on. Gary, yeah. Absolutely. We need the Holy Spirit more than ever every day. It's getting more. Oh, yes. Unspoken, absolutely. I think we can. Many of us, not all of us, can second that with unspoken requests. So, all right, well, let us kneel and talk to our Heavenly Father here. Dear Jesus, it's always a blessing and a privilege and honor to be able to speak to you just in human terms, and you know the desires of our hearts. And as Summer brought out, you know, you're answering prayers even before we ask, and reminded that there's so many blessings you have for us that just go unreceived because we don't ask. So pray that we can all remember to have a constant dialogue with you, ask all the things, bring all the burdens of our heart to you. And Lord, you want to lift up all the unspoken requests, that burdens of our heart, and you know that you can work to bring miracles in our lives for those. Some things we want to mention specifically, people by name here, Luann's neighbor Danny, who's dealing with health concerns. We know that health is such a precious thing and constantly a delicate balance. So pray for Danny. We want to pray for Tim and Luann Bryant here. They battle disease here, that they will be able to heal and fully recover from that. We'll pray for Rob here, Lamberton. He continues to seek to follow you, and just pray for him, and he can be a blessing to all those around him and be an encouragement light in challenging circumstances. And Lord, we want to pray for the son and daughter of Tina and John, Joel and Debbie's friends here, as their children deal with different challenges there. Please minister to them and their family and help them to seek you as a way of escape from earthly troubles here. Lord, we want to pray for the Holy Spirit to be in our midst, hear him in our service, and as we go about our week, we want the former and latter rain to be poured out on us, that we can be, you know, your end time people, that we can be that beacon of light here and take up that challenge each and every day and be imbued with your power to do that. So just thank you for giving us this place of worship and fellow believers here to be an encouragement in your name. Amen.
17:47. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands.
Normally, these things are done in the back, so you can see the process. There we go. All right. There we go. There we go. It sounds like it's working. There we go. Can you all hear me now? All right. We have been studying in school, in my classroom, the last week of Jesus' life, and we've been kind of working our way through that. We've made it to Thursday, and there's so much that happens on Thursday. We've been stuck on Thursday for quite a while. But I want to, today, I was thinking about, impromptu, what we could talk about together this morning. So like I said, I don't have a sermon for you. So grab your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 25. As people need to speak, will you run that around? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. This was probably would have been told on Wednesday of that week, just before, or maybe somewhere close in there. But this was approaching the last bit of Jesus' life. Let me pull this out of my pocket. Maybe that's the problem. Put it up here. So let's read this together. So what I'd love to do is what I do in school and what we sometimes do in Sabbath school. So that'll have to be turned on when it gets. So we're going to use the other wireless mic as well. If I can get someone to read for us verses chapter 25 verses 1-5.
Oh, well, I have the mic.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay.
So.
At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep.
So, what's happening here? We have a bridegroom, and he's delayed. Any idea why he's delayed? TK. Because he's building a house. TK, you have been paying attention. Awesome. He's building a house. Who is he building a house for? Now, in everybody else's defense, TK's the only one here that's in my classroom, so. Who's he building a house for?
His wives.
His is only one.
Wife.
At a time, at least. No, there's only one. Only one. So he's building a house for his wife. So, and I am willing to give up this mic. So it goes down here. That would be one of those things that was done prior to standing up front. All right. So he's building a house for his wife, and in the Jewish tradition, she stayed with her parents, her father, throughout the engagement, and he went and he built a house. And you didn't know exactly when the house was going to be done. But there would come a point where it was done, and he would come back now to collect his bride. And you had to be ready. So apparently it was going to be coming close, because you had 10 bridesmaids here. And Jesus says that there's a separation between them. 5 are foolish and 5 are wise. What was the difference between the foolish and the wise? TK.
5 of them brought oil and 5 of them didn't.
Right. So, in fact, they all brought oil, but 5 of them brought some extra because they figured there might be a delay. 5 of them did not.
Husband came, the one was ready with oil.
Yeah, the one was ready. You should get up here and talk, not me. You got this nailed. Okay. And so the house is built, the event is ready, and the bridegroom comes. And they all get ready to go with him, but 5 of them go, Hey, give me some oil. You know, you got a little extra. Share with me. And they don't. So let's go ahead and, on verse 6. So one of you ladies up here be willing to read 6 through 10. Okay? So we get a mic up here. Verses 6 through 10.
But at midnight there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will be not enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the marriage feast, and the door was shut.
And the door was shut. So 5 went in, and 5 got stuck at the oil shop and didn't make it in. Actually, at midnight, I'll bet the oil shop wasn't open. Yeah, so... No Walmarts. It's a good thing, right? Would have ruined the parable. So, someone help me out. Like I said, this is not a sermon, so I'm not presenting all the answers to you, right? I don't think I ever do in a sermon, but let's talk together. What's going on here? What's going on? What is... what's happened here?
ladies, the virgins, who ask for more oil from the others are those who are looking to others for truth.
Okay.
Truth comes from Christ only.
All right. Good. So the oil in Scripture, what does oil represent? The Holy Spirit. We learn that through the sanctuary and throughout Scripture. We have that symbolism of oil and the Holy Spirit. So you had all of them had a measure of the Holy Spirit, but five of them had something beyond, something extra that was enough to carry them through some tough times. And like Gary said, though, I can't look to you and you can't look to me to get any extra Holy Spirit. It's just not going to work. It really is a tragic story here. You know, it's a mixture of joy and but really the focus in this story is the tragedy. In verse 11 and to 13, afterward the other virgins came also saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Gary, whenever we have prayer requests, without fail, always asks us to pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Okay. And that is exactly what this is all about. Yeah. So, in case you didn't hear, let me say the question again. That's a good question. So, does verse 9 prove that I don't have to share what I have with others? What do you all think? Who said that? Okay. No, it's a... Okay. Carol. Okay. You can't share what you don't have. But I'm going to push just a little bit. They had some extra. They had some extra. So... Okay. Okay. So it's true. It's not about oil. And Mike back here.
Just a little commentary from Christ's Object Lessons here. It's really interesting. I hadn't read this before, but you know, talks about, you know, end time church, anybody who's looking forward to the Lord's return are represented in this story. And it says the class represented by the foolish virgins are not hypocrites. So they have a regard for the truth, and they have advocated for the truth, and they are attracted to those who believe the truth. But they have not yielded themselves personally to the workings of the Holy Spirit. So that's the key thing. It's that they're not, you know, they're all doing the same thing. They're all ready to go to the feast. It is in a crisis that character is revealed. It will show whether the soul is sustained by grace or not. The 10 virgins are watching in the evening of Earth's history. All claim to be Christians. All have a call, a name, a lamp, and all profess to be doing God's service. All apparently wait for Christ's appearing, but five are unready. Five will be found surprised, dismayed outside the banquet hall, And the saddest of all words that can ever fall on the mortal ear are the words of doom, I know you not.
Mm-hmm. Right back here.
Some things someone can't give away. TK, I want some of your vitality in your youth. Would you give me some? Not all of it, just a little. Could you give me some? Yeah, but you can't give it to me, can you? Some things we cannot give away, even though we have a lot of it.
Okay. So. That's a... Right. So I can't give you the Holy Spirit. It's a gift of God only. Okay, good. So Joel, does that answer your question? Coming closer. All right. Okay.
In the same chapter with Ariel's reading from in Christ's Object Lesson, it says, it is in a crisis that character is revealed when the earnest voice proclaimed at midnight, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And the sleeping virgins were roused from their slumbers. It is seen who had made preparation for the event. Both parties were taken unaware, but one was prepared for the emergency and the other was found without preparation. So now, a sudden and unlooked-for calamity, something that brings the soul face-to-face with death, will show whether there is any real faith in the promises of God. It will show whether the soul is sustained by grace. The great final test comes at the close of human probation, when it will be too late for the soul's need to be supplied.
The time to prepare for a crisis is not when the crisis is there. If I want to prepare for a flood, it's a bad time when the flood's raging through my house.
I was trying to look up the name of the guy on Adventist Today. It's a Facebook page, Adventist Today. Okay. The guy is in Oregon, and he was formerly in leadership in the church. And he is abandoning the premise of the Advent. He's saying, the Adventist church can no longer say that Jesus is coming soon because of how long it's been. And so he's stepping away from some of the teachings by Ellen White on end times, and I just can't help but think about how even the elect will be deceived and how there's a prominent Seventh-day Adventist Facebook page that is kind of stepping away from the Adventist beliefs.
Isn't that ironic, since what I'm hearing from all sorts of Christian and secular sources of how much we are in the end times, that there's a change coming, there's something coming. Even people that don't believe in Jesus are saying that. So it's ironic. Gary.
In answer to the Joel's question, which is very important, it is said in Hebrews 6, verses 12, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And this is extremely important because the promise of the kingdom is right smack dab in front of us. And the kingdom of heaven is so joined with Jesus Christ that rejection of either is a rejection of Christ.
Right. True statement. No. There's an element here that has always bothered me in this parable. And I'm not quite sure what to make of it, is the fact that all 10 of these young ladies slept. I'd rather have the parable be 5 of them stayed awake and were alert and ready, and 5 of them went to sleep and they weren't ready. I would prefer that parable. That's not the one Jesus gave, though. All of them slept. And if we represent the virgins as the church, and that says something about us. Are we asleep? Yeah. Am I asleep? I'm not sure. TK, just a second. Get a mic. Get a mic. Wait. So people can hear.
Well, because all of us are sinners. Well, all of us have some sin. All of us are sleeping.
Okay. So, back here. Well, people can hear better when you use a mic. There's some people on earphones.
All viewers. So, if I was part of the five that was lacking,
uh-huh.
Okay, so I'm comfortable enough to, I got it. I got it. I'm prepared. I got it. I'm comfortable enough to know that I've got it. So I would sleep to the five that are prepared. What is there to panic about? I am prepared. I'm prepared. I can sleep. So,
right.
So you have two groups of people that are sleeping for different reasons.
Okay.
Shame on them for sleeping, though. I'm with you, Doug.
So they could. So one is sleeping out of self-confidence that I've got this all taken care of, and the other is sleeping the sleep of a person who is comfortable, and the fact of the matter is I don't have to stress. That kind of sleep we all hope for every night. Yeah? Okay. That's helpful for me. Anything else from this passage that we could learn from? We could gain from this? Oh, yeah. So let's see. Summer hasn't spoken. We'll go there and we'll work our way back. So remember what you're thinking.
It's my understanding that virgins or women in the Bible represent churches.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're looking at the church is asleep, I'm reminded of Revelations 3 when it talks, 14, talks about the church of Laodicea, and it says, or 15, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich. Cover your shameful nakedness and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. That is the state of the church before Jesus comes.
Mm-hmm.
So indeed, we are asleep.
All right. Holly?
Well, my thumb was over on the other side of Matthew on 25. This is the final judgment, starting with verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, and thirsty and give you drink? And when he did, we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. So there you have the separations I'm seeing from, you know, half ready, half not, kind of the same situation.
And it shows what ready looks like there. So back here, Gary, and then TK.
We naturally forget that those who received the Holy Spirit or those who had extra oil in their lamp, the lamp actually represents the Bible.
Okay.
And the Holy Spirit speaks through the scriptures.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
I would like to read 1 Corinthians 8, verses 2. This goes along with the comments that were just perfectly set before me. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing as he ought to know. And that's what God knows about us. And so the answer to the Laodicean church that they're rich and have everything and they don't know that they are poor, blind, and naked, what's their answer? It is the same. We don't know.
Right.
You see? And so the ones who are separated, we didn't know. We don't. In other words, the ones who receive the Holy Spirit are those who claim that they are sinners, that they don't know, that they are poor, blind, and naked. And these are those who are going to search the scriptures and find that they are more so, because God is so great, so merciful, and so full of salvation for mankind.
Thank you. TK, and then up here.
This parable also has something in it, and it, if we aren't ready, we can't go to heaven, and we don't know when to be ready, so we have to be ready always.
Right. So I don't have a schedule that I can get ready just before. I have to just be ready. Good point. Up here. Mr. Stout. Oh, I thought his hand was up. Right back here, Sharon.
We also have to be ready to share our faith at any time. There was a gentleman that came up a few days ago to deliver some tractor part. John wasn't home yet from work, and so the gentleman is an older man, and he'd been a farmer, but he's lives in Wenatchee. He was commenting about the wonderful out of the place area that we are living in, and he said, I would love to be up in here. He said, I want to get away from everything that's happening in the world. What an open comment. We talked about what's happening in the world. And he just, you know, is so like-minded. And I thought, is he an Adventist? But he just was just so open to whatever was said. Well, John came home, gave him a great controversy, also a glow track on what is it called?
It's called Making Sense of Natural Disasters.
And pointed out in a great controversy, marked it, you know, that corresponded with that. And also the book that Sunday is Not the Sabbath. He was so excited receiving all these books and literature. And he said, I love to read, and I'm anxious to read all of this. And so doors are opening. Yeah. Megan went to a women's get-together Monday night, and she said, they're all just ready to receive whatever information that our church has. And, you know, right now, the door is opening for people that are searching. And yes, we are seeing people in our own church leaving, as Ariel had mentioned. And it's sad, but we know from the spirit of prophecy, this is going to happen. And it is happening right now.
Thank you, guys. So I have been blessed by your guys' impromptu sermon. So I stand up, you all talk. That's good. So let's close with prayer. Father in heaven, no, we don't want to hear, and we don't want anyone to hear, I've never known you, depart from me. And so as we think of that and we consider the need in our church, we don't want to be, you know, we don't want to be asleep. We don't want to be poor, blind, and naked. We want to be clothed in your righteousness. And we want your spirit to be working in our church. Continue to open doors. Continue to provide opportunities for us to share the truth. So, and help us to be courageous and willing to step out and do that when the opportunity arises. I'm grateful in Jesus' name. Amen.